executive who knows exactly what she wants for her country, and many supporters are behind her.
Giorgia Meloni, I think, is one of the few women who can stand up to Europe and, above all, hold Italy up.
I trust Meloni a lot, and I'm convinced that she will slowly bring forward the solution to the problem for young people, pensioners, and change the whole bureaucratic system.
I am a right-wing voter and therefore happy to see Giorgia Meloni in government. I had the chance to know her when she was younger, and I know that she is a democratic person of culture who speaks four languages and is very prepared. The attacks against her are due to jealousy, because she is an intelligent, strong, free, and honest woman.
On today's episode of The Stream, how might Italy's new far-right government change the country? That is the discussion. You're very welcome to be part of it. The comment section is right here. Look forward to hearing from you. Welcome to Barbara, Marina, Federico. Good to have all three of you here. Barbara, wonderful to have you on The Stream. Interesting capacity. I know many of our viewers will recognise you. Tell everybody who you are and what you do now.
Thanks, Femi. It's great to be with you. My name is Barbara Serra. I'm an Italian-born journalist based in London. I used to present the news and be a correspondent for Al Jazeera for 16 years. And at Al Jazeera, I made the film Fascism in the Family.
We're going to see a little bit of that in just a moment. But first, let's say hello to Marina. Marina, welcome to The Stream. Please introduce yourself. Say hello to our viewers.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me here. My name is Marina Cino Pagliarello. I am a political economist and I work on European politics at UCL in London.
So good to have you. And Federico, welcome to you as well. Please say hello to our viewers around the world.
Hello, everybody. My name is Federico Fubini. I'm a journalist. I'm an editor at large with Corriere della Sera, which is Italy's leading newspaper, and I'm essentially an economics journalist.
Good to have all three of you. We also reached out to the Brothers of Italy party to see if they would be part of our program. We didn't get a response from them, but we will be featuring their voices, their comments in today's show. Let's start, Barbara, with this idea of being a fascist and fascism. In the years since fascism was spreading across Europe, it's become more of a pejorative term. And I'm wondering if we've lost the context of what it means in Italy. Let me start with Matteo, first of all. Matteo sums it up quite nicely. Then I'd love you to just build off the back of him. What does being a fascist mean in Italy today? Here's Matteo, first of all.
My peers nowadays consider fascism anything that is anti-establishment, conservative, nationalistic. So it's clear that the word has completely lost its meaning. On an humanitarian side, though, I strongly believe that Italy cannot grow its fascist roots without breaking both the Italian law, the European law, and the international law. So I don't think that's really a problem, and we shouldn't worry about that.
Barbara, I suspect if I asked every Italian, they would give me a completely different answer. But what is your answer to what is a fascist?
Well, I mean, my answer is that fascism isn't an opinion. It's a crime in Italy, and that's the way that it should be seen. I mean, I remember I sort of decided to make the film Fascism in the Family when actually the word fascism kept on being used in English rather than in Italian. And I feel sometimes overused, like anything and everything was a fascist. So listen, I think the key thing about Brothers of Italy and Giorgia Meloni is that they have links, specific links, and their roots are in a neo-fascist party that began after World War II, the so-called MSI, without getting into too many details. So that's specific about her and the party, so much so that the logo of that party from after World War II is still part of their branding now. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a controversial thing. You know, fascism is illegal, and certainly any attempt at reconstituting the party is illegal. I think that there's a lot of things that I noticed while I made the film, for example, that there would be, you know, a trickle of people just always going to Mussolini's grave to kind of pay their respects. So I think some of the, you know, I don't think that all Italians have quite dealt with their history, but I do think we need to be careful about using the word fascism. And to me, you know, for fascism to be present, or at least, you know, to be fully evolved, you need violence, and you need that violence to be used as a threat to democracy.
Mm. Federico, I see you nodding. Articulate your nod. Go ahead.
I don't quite understand whether the question is if we think that Giorgia Meloni is a fascist or not. I think it's a question definitely worth asking. And probably the first thing I would say, if that's the question, I would say that I think one of her successes is that she has managed to make it impolite to ask her whether she's a fascist or how she relates to her fascist roots, because she becomes very easily impatient. And that's a debate that I would say is a little bit, it has disappeared a little bit from Italy. I would say that she's definitely a right-wing populist. She has been a right-wing populist for a number of years, in the mold of, Donald Trump, Bannon in the U.S., in the mold of maybe Vox in Spain and other right-wing populist parties across Europe, across the world, across the West. And if you look at her political family in Europe, we're talking about Law and Justice in Poland, the Tory party in Britain, and other parties of that kind. So,
okay.
I think she has showed sympathy for authoritarians. She has invited, for instance, Viktor Orban to her party conferences very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to move a little bit forward and move on from the debate about the fascism of the 1930s. And get, I think, straight into the debate as to whether.
Okay, Federico, let me share. I hear you loud and clear. Marina, I'm wondering then, what kind of conservatism does Meloni present for Italians? What's attractive for Italians about her?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what is really attractive, I mean, having said that, I do agree with what has been stated earlier, but I think we should also focus on the different interviews that you showed at the beginning, right, of this show. So why people voted for Giorgia Meloni, what people saw in Giorgia Meloni. And it didn't seem to me that, you know, fascism or a lot of, you know, pro-conservative stances were, you know, so much mentioned. What we heard was, you know, she's close to the needs of people, and maybe, you know, she can do something for my electricity cost. She's a self-made woman. She's someone who has been coherent. I mean, I'm not giving any judgment to this. I'm just saying that, you know, the perception of people in Italy when talking about the victory of Giorgia Meloni is, you know, not so much attached to what, you know, the international press or to what, you know, the debate is regarding fascism. So, and I think that, you know, now this is the most important question, right? I mean, what kind of, you know, discontent she managed to capture, what kinds, you know, of votes she gathered. It's clear that the majority of, you know, not the majority, but a big part of votes of Meloni is a protest vote, right? It's not so much a fascist, post-fascist or neo-fascist vote. It's really, you know, she's the only one left in the center-right that, you know, she hasn't betrayed us. So let's try Meloni now. So there are really, I think, high expectations.
We've tried everybody else. Let's try a flavour that we haven't tried, a flavour of politics we haven't tried for some time. Let me push on a little bit, because I don't want to just talk about Meloni's roots. I want to talk about how she will lead. So I'm going to go back to a documentary that you, Barbara, you made in 2019, where you were looking not just at Italy's move to the far right, but connecting back to your family as well. And you went to a Meloni rally in 2019 when she wasn't even polling that high. But what do we see here? Do we see leadership here? Let's have a look.
These are the Brothers of Italy, the country's second largest far-right party. Giorgia Meloni is the leader. Today, she's issuing a clarion call for Europe to get behind the Brothers' extreme nationalist agenda. I suspect when Meloni says our identity, she doesn't include the farm workers I met in Puglia. And where is the country's fascist history to be found in her notion of what defines us?
So, Barbara, there are real challenges for Italy right now. There's economic challenges. COVID is still around, so people are still coping with COVID. There are health challenges. There's a lot to cope with. How is Meloni going to change what she does on the stage and in rallies into leading a country?
Well, she's going to have to be pragmatic, isn't she? And for example, you know, we know that she's had some meetings with Mario Draghi, who, of course, led the country up until, you know, the elections and now when the new government comes, because this is a tricky situation. Italy also needs to access a lot of money that the EU has given it to kind of get back on its feet after COVID. So I think we're going to see a pragmatic Meloni. I think we will see the kind of signal that her presence will give to the rest of the European countries. But I think practicality and you know, obviously the other guests will know more, especially the gentleman based in Italy. But, you know, she's going to have to be practical. And I think getting the economy to be stable is the most important thing. I mean, remember that one of the main reasons that Meloni has swept to power, because it's interesting, when I made the film, we almost didn't go to the Meloni rally. Because me and the producer were going, nah, she's pulling at 4%. We don't need to go there. And then thankfully, our director made us. And, you know, that was only 2019. And look how she skyrocketed in the polls. And that is because she was the only opposition party through COVID. So when a lot of unpopular measures were being pushed through, whether it was lockdown or Italy had very strict vaccination rules, for example, where you couldn't even go into a restaurant if you couldn't show that you were vaccinated, she capitalized on all of that. So look, you know, there's a lot of reasons. Remember, 7 million people voted for Meloni, and abstention remains really the one winner of these elections, which is worrying in itself. So I think when it comes to the economy, we may see her be a bit more traditional than we may think, or, you know, working within Europe. It'll be interesting to see what she does on issues like migration, obviously a key issue for the far right, and issues like the rights of minorities.
Maria, go ahead.
Yeah.
Winnie, you go first. Federica, you go second.
The interesting thing is that the Meloni that we saw in 2019 might be, despite herself and despite the way she would like to be, she might be far removed from the kind of leader that will have to manage the country, because we're talking about fragile country in financial respects, in the midst of a serious crisis. That is, there is a war on the continent, there is an economic war and an energy war going on with Russia, with energy prices that are tenfold from a couple of years ago, with interest rates going up. And this financial fragility I was talking about. So we are talking about a leader that was calling for the euro to be dismembered just a few years ago. She gave an interview like 15 months ago, not 15 years, but 15 months ago, questioning the euro. And now she's standing for orthodox fiscal policies. So what does that mean? And from what I hear, she is looking for technocrats to run the most sensitive ministries. So the finance ministry, the energy ministry, the health ministry. It's like an admission that she doesn't have the personnel, she doesn't have the competence in her party, and frankly, she doesn't have the right proposals, the right ideas to run this country. So this is also fascinating, because it's not the first case of a populist that screams and yells in public squares But the minute she has to take responsibility, this kind of populist leader becomes scared.
Okay, let me just share, Federico.
Run the country in her place.
All right, Federico, I hear you. I also want to spend some time with our audience who are watching you right now. This is Juan. Juan says that labels don't matter. What's matter is that Meloni loves her country and wants to save her country from globalists. That is one perspective. And then another perspective here is concerned about how she might treat migrants coming to Italy. I am wondering again, Marina, about turning what you say for a campaign into leadership. How will Meloni cope from your perspective?
Yeah. Well, in this moment, I mean, what we know is that since the election, Meloni has a very, you know, has had a very low profile, let's say. No, it's not anymore the Meloni that we saw in 2019 screaming and yelling, but apparently she's spending all the time reading economy dossier. And as Federico was saying, you know, it's quite funny that a candidate that ran a populist ticket, right, making the key argument against technocratic governments, now is, you know, trying to poach high-level technocratic experts. Also, I think that regarding also the priorities of Meloni agenda, so from energy to immigration and social rights and European Union foreign policy, I think that we still have to see who will be the ministers of the most important, you know, policy areas. So until we don't know who will be the Minister of Economy and the Interior and the Defense and Foreign Policy, I don't think we can have, you know, a real idea of the governability of the coalition, but also of the stability and of the political agenda overall of Meloni. I mean, it's clear that in this moment the priority is energy and Ukraine. I'm not so sure, you know, how much time and efforts Meloni is going to spend in this moment in social rights. But, I mean, it's very early to say. It seems that, you know, she's really working, you know, waving this pro-European hat in this moment. So let's see what will happen.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah,
because what I'm hearing is that she is actually knocking on the doors of many of those technocrats and asking them to, you know, get on to work for her. And she's getting a lot of refusals because the credibility probably is not there. And so the this kind of leader that rose criticizing the technocrats, criticizing mainstream policymaking, is now desperate to have those people on her side. And she's not managing. That's the fascinating thing. And like you were talking about migration, but the very same people who voted for her, you know, the small entrepreneurs in northern, eastern Italy, they do want economic immigration because they cannot find personnel. They cannot find people to hire.
Federica, I'm going to bounce off what you were saying there, because Andrea Piro is an assistant professor at the Scuola Normale Superiore, and he talks about some of the most conservative policies that Meloni has. And he's very worried about them and what that may turn Italy into. This is what he told us earlier.
Giorgia Meloni campaigned on a far-right platform. She wants to block all immigration coming from non-European countries, and her social conservative agenda is likely to further curb the rights of LGBTQI people and access to abortion. Should she succeed in implementing her platform, Italy may end up looking like a light version of Hungary under Orbán or Poland under Kaczynski. Therefore, a looming prospect for the quality of democracy in the country.
Federico, is that a concern for you?
Of course it is. You cannot be complacent in front of those risks. At the same time, I would say maybe Italy is too messy a country and too accustomed to its freedoms, and also a country with a very strong constitutional framework within the country and a very strong attachment to European rules. So I don't think it will be that easy to move Italy into an illiberal authoritarian country. I don't think people who voted for her voted for that agenda. They voted for her to express her frustration, but I'm not sure the minute she tries to move Italy in that direction, she will be that popular. So for the moment, you should not be complacent. I'm not complacent, but I see her big embarrassment because she screamed at Yale, as I said, but now it's the moment of truth and she doesn't know who to turn to run this country. And in a way, if it weren't so serious, it would be even funny. It is a lesson for all populists out there. So easy to scream when you are in opposition, but then you have to take things seriously, and she doesn't know how to do that.
Let's go back to Meloni, and this is from August when she was on the campaign trail. And Federica says she's screaming, but she definitely has a presence on stage, and it's a very loud presence. Let's just remind us of what she's like when she has a big audience who is enjoying what she says. And then I'm just going to go back to Barbara and ask Barbara about what you think may well happen next with this very bold politician. Let's take a look.
La domanda è...
I am not afraid. I am ready to lead this battle. The question is, are you ready? Is this nation ready to question itself on the reasons why a movement like Brothers of Italy is talked about every day as if it were a monster in the newspapers, while it's estimated to have the support of 25% of Italians?
Barbara.
So, I mean, it's interesting when you said a clip from the summer, I thought you were going to show another one where she was speaking in Spain and very much went into the full flow of sounding a little bit authoritarian there. I think there are serious questions that people can have about Brothers of Italy. And it's not just the past. It's not just that it's rooted in a neo-fascist party or comments that she made maybe in 1996 praising Mussolini. I mean, the truth is that there are still members of the party and some quite high up that will, for example, celebrate key dates in the sort of, you know, Mussolini diary, that will do a fascist salute. A mausoleum was built in honor of someone who was effectively a war crime from World War II. So, you know, the question marks that people have about Meloni, it's not just, you know, it's not invented and it's not just based in the past. There are recorded incidents of things that are happening now or have happened really recently. And what I found really fascinating following both what she was saying on the Italian campaign trail and then to the, you know, international, but really English language press, was how she was definitely trying to tone down her image and to try to convince the international community that she is a serious interlocutor and that she would be a serious leader of Italy. I think the word that Federico used, you know, is not to be complacent. One of the things that I'll be looking out for is how they treat dissent, especially dissent when it comes to journalism, because Italy is the only country in Europe where a journalist is under police protection because of threats from neo-fascists, so from the far right. Most of the journalists under police protection are under protection because of the mafia. So it's things like that, you know, it's the little things that I think all of us have to be careful about and just keep an eye on when it comes to Brothers of Italy and the future government that they may form.
I'm going to leave so with one more voice, and this voice is Andrea Mole, who, despite seeing all of the concern about what Meloni may well bring to Italy, doesn't think that she is able to break Italy. So have a listen to this.
New peak in Euroscepticism in Italy, which is, I would remind everybody, the second military power and third larger economy, could damage the union beyond repair with consequences that we will feel also in the US. I can see how all this can be cause of concern. However, so far, Giorgia Meloni seems to have signaled her willingness to act in continuity with Mario Draghi and reassure everybody that the country will be loyal to NATO and the EU.
Thank you to everybody who joined us on YouTube. The debate continues on YouTube. Barbara, Marina, Federico, thanks for being part of today's show. Appreciate it. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.